Hey everyone, welcome back to yet another episode. I'm so excited because today we are talking all about systems and a really important thing that I think a lot of people want the answer to, which is, Alyssa, how do I identify what needs to be worked on first, or what is the biggest and most needed thing that needs to get fixed right now in the company? Because if you're anything like anybody else here, everybody is pulling out their hair, trying to be in 50 million parts of their business, trying to fix everything at one time instead of really focusing heavily on one area that might need the biggest attention for you. That might be sales for you. That might be your onboarding process. That might be that you really need a team. But maybe you're just like, what comes first, chicken before the egg? Like all these questions that we might have. So if that's you, then this episode is going to be absolutely perfect for you. There are some very strategic and logistical steps that I'm going to be providing for you in this episode. So I really do recommend that either you listen in on the first time around just to kind of get the concept, then come back and take notes, or even just like check out the blog that comes with this podcast, which you can go to workflowqueen.com/podcast and search for this episode. And you should have this written down. There are some visuals that you might want to reference as well that will also be included in the blog for you guys if you need to actually go and like look at it. But in today's episode, really my intention is to help you to identify the four different quadrants of the business with the certain systems. And then each core process in every single firm that I see, all the different processes in each quadrant. And I'm going to help you to identify what quadrant of the business to really focus on. So maybe that might be your client systems, and then what core process you need to work on, and my recommendations to getting it automated, documenting it, and my step-by-step process for me to identify what I need to fix in the company and how I actually do that. So it's going to be perfect for you. If you love the logistics and you love to hear the strategic step-by-step, then this episode is going to be for you. And it is such a freaking game changer, and I absolutely love this topic. Do you ever feel like if you had actionable systems in place that it can actually take your practice to the next level? Can you imagine the freedom you'd gain from finally getting everything out of your head and into a system that can help you move things on autopilot? Do you ever feel like you want to hire help for your practice, but you just don't know where to start? Trust me, I get it, and you're not alone. But it doesn't have to be this way. You're kick-ass at doing the bookkeeping and accounting work. There's no doubt about that. But you struggle to maintain the systems and operations of your business. Am I right? But don't worry, that's where I come in, the Workflow Queen. I'm going to guide you on how to implement tech, systems, and automation in your practice so you can scale bigger, hire better, and break through to the next level. I can't wait to support you here on the Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang. Hey everyone, and welcome back. So in today's podcast episode, I really wanted to just deep dive into what I like to call world-class systems. And this is usually something that we cover a lot inside of my group coaching program, Breakthrough. And also it's something that I teach actually on our day three of our Power to Breakthrough boot camp that we typically host maybe once or twice a year. And so I felt like I was being called to really have this conversation with all of you guys about what to really focus on first, because I know this feeling just as much as you do of like, oh my gosh, what do I work on first? Is it the sales? Is it the marketing? Is it the onboarding? Is it the cleanup process? Like, what do I need to really work on? Especially as your business is scaling and as you are continuously growing, you'll naturally find that like you're almost spread even more thin, that it's really hard for you to get clear on like, where do I really need to start to revamping my systems or to fix things in the business or to fix the problems. And I get this a lot. And this is one of the big reasons why, like when people join Breakthrough, I do a strategy call with them. And that's mostly to just really hear what is going on in the business, because what you think is the problem may not actually be the real problem. There might be something underneath that. There might be something that really needs your attention. Maybe you really want something to be your attention, but really there's something over here that's breaking. And so today, really my whole goal is to help you to understand exactly where to begin when it comes to revamping your systems. And so that's really what the focus is today. And I think this is just going to give you a lot of clarity. So I do recommend that you come back, listen to it later, or even read the blog. You can actually totally read our blog if you go to workflowqueen.com/podcast and search for this episode. We will typically have this written out for you as well. So that way, if you want to come back to it and have like notes from us, and then you could take your own notes, because there's a lot of great information from today. My end goal for most people who come into my world, especially as we've like really started to really push a breakthrough, because I truly believe that we've created an end-all be-all program for scaling firms that are just like ready to let go and to become what I call a removable CEO. And a lot of people are always like, oh my gosh, like what is this removable CEO? So a removable CEO in my eyes, and it can look different for you. Everybody will have a different theory of what it is, and that's okay, because it's all based off your goals and based off what you want. But for me, a removable CEO is someone who in my business does not need to be there, but yet if I decide not to be there, the company could still operate, I could still make money, and all the clients are well taken care of. Your idea of a removable CEO might look different for you. Maybe it's that, I don't know, maybe some family member or friend has been in the hospital and you want to make sure that you could be there present and not have to worry about the business, but still be making money. And so you have to determine what your removable CEO is, but I really want to get people to a place where you're work optional inside of your business, that you do not have to be there. And this is one of the big ways to do that is by first understanding what's wrong in the business so we know what to tackle, and then eventually training your team to also identify these things to help you tackle these things. But before we can become that removable CEO, that work optional business owner, you really need to have the right systems, the team, the offers, and the mindset in place. And so today we're going to dive headfirst into the systems side of things. So before we dive into like the meat and the potatoes of the whole entire lesson here that's going to be from this podcast episode, is I really want to just kind of lay it down. How do you know if your systems aren't even working for you? So you might be saying like, I'm getting by. It's fine. Everything's good. Everything still gets done. Month end still happens. And that's okay. But I think that really just taking a step back and saying, am I working constantly still? Like if you find yourself like working a lot of hours, more hours at least than you want, let's just say you work 20 hours and you really only want to be working 10, then that might mean that there's an issue with the system or issue with the process and the way that you're doing things. You might not be making the money that you need to, where you're in this like constant vicious cycle of needing to like increase your clients' rates, but you're just like scared to do it. And I see this a lot in the industry because trust me, inside of Breakthrough, we do these like homework reviews. And in the homework reviews, in the optimized offers module, the students are able to submit all their homework for a review, and one of those pieces of homework is to submit how much time they're spending on their clients, their direct cost to the client, are they even profitable per client? And I could tell you that on average, when people start with us in Breakthrough, on average, they're undercharging. And then by the time they get through Breakthrough, they're at a point where they've price increased, now they're charging what they're worth. And it's so incredible to watch. But one thing I will say is that if you feel like you're not making enough money for the effort you're putting in, then maybe there's something wrong with the systems or wrong with the pricing or wrong with the whatever that looks like, right? And you might not be able to deliver for your clients. So what I mean by this is this could be things like, how do I say this? You're just drowning in the work. And like at the end of the day, it's you're dropping the ball. Something's falling through the cracks. Like you're really overwhelmed. Something's kind of happening. And also maybe you're doing just fine with delivering on your clients, but there's so much more that you want to implement, have better client experience systems, be able to like actually have the time to send gifts to clients when they start to onboard with you. There's a lot of different things that could be happening. And if any of those three things are like something that you could check off, then maybe your systems aren't working for you. So a couple of common mistakes I see bookkeepers make when it comes to systems is they hire people who are bookkeepers that don't know their clients. So you're just like kind of going out there and just saying, well, someone understands bookkeeping, so they should just be able to jump right into my business and know everything. It doesn't matter if you even hired me, who has years of experience, has been running multiple firms. If you hired me into your business, yes, I know bookkeeping and I know the logistics of it, but I don't know how your business operates. I don't know how you like it, your specific ways of doing things. I see a lot of bookkeepers claiming to be the person doing everything, so clients are caught off guard when they end up working with a team. And this is really normal. I'm sure that you're not the only one here listening, or if maybe you've done a great job of finally letting that go. But it's really common that when we first start our business, we don't know that we're going to end up hiring or bring on maybe a team member. And that doesn't need to be like 10 people on your team. It can literally mean like one person that your client has to also interact with. And we all have the tendency to say I, but I really recommend that you start changing your verbiage to we. And this is where it's super crucial, even on your website, in your copy, in the way that you're sending emails, like we really appreciate the time that you're going to spend with our team. Like use those words, even if you don't have them, because I promise you, if you eventually have to hire, you're going to wish that you said that before, because clients do get caught off guard when they're like, oh, well, I thought I've just been working with Sally Sue. no, you're actually working with Sally Sue now and team. And so sometimes that's why clients have a resistance to let it go. But I see this a lot where like, we don't do that from the beginning. So if you're listening at the beginning stage, start saying we, team, make you look bigger than you actually are, because you don't want to be in a position one day where like now you have to introduce it to the clients and they're resisting it, right? Another common mistake I see is that a lot of bookkeepers constantly switch softwares when the software isn't the issue. This is so huge inside of my Breakthrough program. I see this all the time, because in Breakthrough, like, we really holistically focus on like the process and not necessarily the direct software that would solve the process. We do have like bonuses and stuff that like solve certain software processes. But the reason I say that is because, like, I'll give you a great example. One of our Breakthrough students recently was talking about switching over from ClickUp, where she houses her SOPs, over to Notion, because she was hoping that the Notion setup that we give inside of Breakthrough was going to solve her problem of the SOPs. And so I just kind of like was on a call with her and I was like, let me see your ClickUp. Let me see what you have going on with where you're storing your SOPs. And I looked at it and I said, honestly, it's not the software that's the problem. The problem is everything's really messy. It's hard for you to search. It's really clunky. And I was just giving her tips and advice. And at the end of that call, she was like, oh my God, you just saved me so much time and money to not have to hire someone to switch me over to Notion, where I thought Notion was going to solve the problem, when really all I need to do is clean things up inside of ClickUp. And so I go to say that, where I see this all the time. People are like, oh, I want to switch to Keeper because it's going to be like everybody's hyped up on it and I'm just going to do it and it's going to solve all my problems. Or I'm going to move to Asana and it's going to solve all of my problems. And I hear this all the time. It's not the software that's going to solve your problem. It's the process, the deep internal process that you've set the tone for in your business that needs to then be implemented in the software. If Asana crashed today, I could switch to ClickUp. If ClickUp and Asana crash, I could switch to Zenix. If all three of those crash, I can go to Keeper. My processes are so solid that it doesn't matter the software that I use. It's just the different softwares allow me different bells and whistles that maybe a different software doesn't have a capability of doing. And so really, I just want you to think about like the core system that needs to be fixed, and then the software can help you amplify that, right? Another big common mistake I see is that a lot of bookkeepers don't have the knowledge behind some of these things. And so what I mean by that is like the knowledge around like, how do I logistically increase my prices for my clients? How do I logistically like document my processes or identify what needs to be focused on next? Or how do I even hire or how do I fire someone? All those things. And so it's just time to get more educated on those things. And that can come from support groups. It could be from things like my program, like Breakthrough. If you've been interested in Breakthrough, like, just know you can always hop on a consult with me, explain where you're at in business, and then we can decide if it's a really good fit for you or not. And I'll drop a link for a consult call for Breakthrough. But then there's also other programs. There's masterminds. There's ways that you can just do your own market research or your own research in general. Read up on things. Learn systems. Learn processes. Listen to YouTube videos. Continue listening to the podcast because I give a lot of processes here. And so I think it's time that like we do these things to like educate ourselves, but also to let go of allowing someone else to implement. And so for me, like, I'm just at a position in my business where like I no longer desire like learning a crap ton of things. I actually really prefer hiring team members that will learn those things, document them, and then implement them. And so like my recommendation is just like get educated on how to do those things, how to outsource to someone who's going to do that, or even for you to take it over, whatever that looks like. Now, the big mistake I see from bookkeepers is they overcomplicate everything. This is normal. This is my life. Like literally every day, I overcomplicate everything. And it's totally normal. And I just want you guys to give yourself some grace that like if that's how you need to operate, then you need to operate that way. But at the same time, I think the more that my business has grown, the more I realize that more easy and more flow is way better than overcomplication. We've all overcomplicated a software. We've all overcomplicated the process. We've all overcomplicated so many different areas of our business and like really just not looking at things like holistically and high level. Like when we take the emotions out of things and we take a step back, it's easier for us to make decisions. And I think that's another really big reason why community is so amazing in certain programs or with other people, because you could say, hey guys, this is my problem, for someone else to look at it, to say, you know what, here's a simple solution. Because we're so emotionally tied to everything. So that's the reason why we tend to overcomplicate, but let's try to make things easier, clearer, and faster. And the last mistake I see a lot for bookkeepers is they're too reliant on technology. And what I mean by this is I love tech. You could see my tech stack. You can go to workflowqueen.com/tech-stack and you'll actually see my whole entire tech stack. And you will see that I do have a lot of different pieces of tech and software that I use inside the business. But what I mean by this is that if all these things crashed, would you actually know how to do the process manually? This is what I mean by that, is that we're so reliant on those things that, like, if all of that was taken away, would you still be able to manually deliver on all of your processes? Because it shouldn't matter the software or the tech that you use. It matters the bells and whistles that are going to help you move more efficiently with what you implement. So let's talk about what systems are, because I think I get this common misconception in the industry that, like, systems equal software, and that's not the truth. Systems can be people. For example, it could be your team, like the system of your team. Your system can also be tools, like efficiency tools is what I like to call them inside of Breakthrough, decision trees, process maps, SOPs, so on and so forth. And then also, like, your system could be like your internal operations. Like, and I just want to give you guys a different perspective that your systems can be so much more than just the software. And that could be people, softwares, strategies, resources, the way that you communicate is a system, your information is a system, execution, monitor and management, and so much more. It's not just the tech. So let's take a step back. If you can, grab a notebook or come back and listen to this piece, because this is how we're going to start identifying and diving into where do I learn to focus on first in the business. So I like to kind of separate out the business into four different, what I like to call, quadrants of the company. So you've got your sales and marketing systems, your client systems, operation systems, and team systems. So those are your main four quadrants of the business. And so essentially what I want you guys to think about is the system encompasses a set of processes that should really work together to create a better client experience and to help you scale the business. So the system is like the all-encompassing of a certain area of the business. So great example, it could be your client systems. Your client systems are going to include things like your onboarding. It's going to include your cleanup, your 1099 process, so on and so forth. While a process is what lives within that system, and there are a series of steps or actions that need to be taken to get a specific outcome. Onboarding is a great example. If you're onboarding a team member, then that would be your team systems, because that's your team. And then your process is going to be onboarding team members. The process would be, you know, hiring and identifying future hires is part of your team systems. While in your client systems, it might be cleanups or whatever that looks like. So let's talk about the core processes within each system. So these are processes that I'd love for you to kind of focus on. We as firms don't have to make it super complicated to have like 20 plus processes. You could really have a good solid like 9 to 10 processes or 8 to 10 processes in the business and it worked perfectly fine. So I'm going to give you an idea of like a typical firm, what processes you would have in place for each quadrant of the business. So the first quadrant is the sales and marketing systems. So the sales and marketing systems should include your sales process and your marketing process. So in that system, you should typically only have two. Now, if let's just say that you offer diagnostic reviews as part of your sales process, then you can always have like a diagnostic review process as well. And that's where you're going to start getting more granular based off what you need inside of your business. But then some of you might not do like a big diagnostic. It takes 2 seconds and maybe you just put it a part of your sales process. You get to make that decision in the business. The next quadrant is the client systems. And so this is where the processes that will be encompassed in the client systems are going to be your onboarding process, cleanup process, bookkeeping maintenance process, quality control process, 1099 process, and then the year-end process. And like I said, if you offer like taxes and you would have a tax process, so you're going to have to add the additional processes, but it makes it easier when you start outlining these things into four different buckets of the major systems of all the different processes. The next systems quadrant is going to be the operation systems. In this system, you're going to have these types of processes: project management, client experience, team experience, documentation management, that's like a full process, your vacation emergency process, your finance process, and you can add whatever else makes sense for you that would live within your operations to be able to like execute the work. The next quadrant and the last quadrant is the team systems. And this is going to include your hiring process, onboarding process for your team maintenance process, that can include things like your performance reviews, KPIs, so on and so forth, your education process as well. So we put that inside of our team systems. So now that you know the four quadrants of the business and the core processes that live in each of those quadrants, here's your action plan of how to actually identify what is the biggest issue in the company right now. And I want you to then focus on like, now how do I like fix these things, right? So first things first is number one, you're going to identify the core system that needs to be fixed. So remember, there's four systems in the business. So we have the sales and marketing system, client system, operation systems, and team systems. I want you to take a step back and really sit with yourself and ask yourself the question of those four businesses. Don't think any deeper, just of the high level sales and marketing, operations, client, or team. What is your biggest problem? What's the biggest? We're not saying that in your mind, you're going to be like, Alyssa, well, every single quadrant has a problem. Of course, there's always going to be goods and bads in every quadrant. But what I want you to really think through is if you were to say this is the biggest problem area in the business right now, which one would it be? So I'll just give you a really great example. For us in my business, what we're really, really working on right now is client systems. If I were to pick out which one's the biggest problem area in my own firm, it's client systems. And I know exactly what process of that system, but that's like a step ahead. So my first thing is client systems. And the reason why client systems is a big focus for me and my firm right now is because we are trying to pass off more cleanup, more of the cleanup process to our internal team, because we actually contract out all of our cleanups to someone specific. And I absolutely love that because we don't have to manage the process. They do it all. And then they just give us the deliverables, which is super amazing. But we are trying to train up our team more on our own internal cleanup process. So that way we can outsource that within our team when our person that we contract to is maybe busy and so on. That's why the client system is one of my big focuses right now, because the cleanup process is what we're trying to nail down right now. Hey, listener, just wanted to quickly interrupt this episode today to ask you, have you been trying to find a better solution to actually taking payments from your clients? Then boy, do I have a solution for you. One of my absolute favorite pieces of tech is Pluto. Pluto is such a game changer in your business. It really helps you to allow you to be able to take payments easily from your clients through ACH. They also take credit card as well, but they have so many different options. One of the big perks to using something like Pluto over something like QBO and all the other options that we have out there for invoicing is because it is way more cost effective, and it has saved me thousands of dollars on those fees that we get taken out for invoicing our clients. So we no longer use QuickBooks Online in order to invoice our own clients. We now have migrated over to Pluto. And if you want to learn more about Pluto and check it out, it is amazing. They make such a seamless process for our clients to be able to add the ACH information, to ask them to authorize us to be able to take the automatic payment every single month, and saves us a ton of money in fees. You're just going to go to workflowqueen.com/Pluto. That's workflowqueen.com/Pluto to learn more. So step two is to identify the core process requiring attention. So I kind of already skipped over to step two in my own example. So first you're going to pick your system. So mine is the client systems. That's my biggest problem area. And then my process that we really want to focus on right now is the cleanup process. Does it mean that my quality control process could probably be like tweaked and some other things could be added to it? Of course. Could my 1099 process also be edited and fixed? Of course. But is that my priority? No. The cleanup process is my number one priority right now. But it doesn't mean that we can't also work on other things. So I just want you to give yourself that grace. A lot of stuff I see in this industry is most people have an issue in the client systems, and their biggest core process issue is onboarding. And so I would really consider like picking out what process makes the most sense for you. Like I said, you could read the blog that comes with this podcast for you to like visualize what we're talking about. So if yours is the onboarding process, and like I've said a million times, your onboarding process and your cleanup process are two different processes. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people who onboard their clients and think that onboarding is also cleaning up the client's books. Onboarding is for one whole different, like my assistant can onboard, and that's what she does. She is our onboarder. She gets the client's information and details ready to go. Then as soon as we're fully onboarded after 2 weeks, then they're moved into the cleanup process. So number one was to identify the core system that needs to be fixing, and then identify the core process requiring the most attention. Like I said, you're going to have problems in a lot of different areas and different processes, but we're looking for the most important one. Number three is to plan to work on it for at least one quarter. And so this is where a lot of people get really tripped up and they're like, I have to work on this for 3 months, my freaking onboarding. Like, what the heck? Why do I have to work on this for so long? It's because like, if you get it done earlier, cool. You get it done earlier. Awesome. But the thing is, you would be really surprised how overly ambitious all of us are, because I'm preaching to the choir over here for myself, like, because this is my life. But my recommendation of the reason why it's a quarter is because life happens. seasons happen. Things just don't go the way that we want it to in the business. You might land new clients. So I give myself intentionally 1 quarter, so 3 months, to really work on that core process. So right now, I think our quarter, like, because it's not like based off the quarters of the years, like the strategic, like Q1, Q2. It's like 3 months and whenever I started the process. So I think we started our cleanup one in February. So it'd be February, March, April. So by the end of April, we should have our cleanup stuff like completed, because not only am I documenting everything, but we're also like automating things, setting up like the master chart of accounts template, like things like that, the things that we're going to need for the cleanup process, right? So 1 quarter is a pretty solid amount of time to really heavily focus on that one process that you identified. So like if yours is onboarding, then for 1 quarter, you'll focus on onboarding. That means documenting it, automating it, creating resources, the templates that you're going to need for the onboarding, the outsourcing of the tasks, and so on and so forth. And so the reason I kind of bring that up is because I think a lot of people get tripped up here and they just are like, oh my God, I just want it done now. Like, oh, we would all love to have it done now. But even if you hired someone to do it right now, there would still need to be testing and so much that needs to go on. And like I said, during that 1 quarter doesn't mean that you need to not focus on anything else. It doesn't mean that you're not also allowed to fix some things in your, you know, in your team systems. It doesn't mean that. It just means that this is going to be your number one focal point. So step four is to process map using tools like Miro or Canva. So I'll explain process mapping as easily as I can, because I'm not going to deep dive into that here on this episode. I'm sure I have plenty of blogs and resources and podcast episodes talking about this. Also, we teach this concept inside of Breakthrough as well for our students. Process mapping is essentially allowing yourself to like imagine you're looking at a whiteboard in your office and you take sticky notes and you put the sticky notes on the whiteboard. And then you have arrows that you're drawing from one sticky note to the next sticky note. And each of those sticky notes, you fill out the steps in order for you to like execute a process. So let's just say it's onboarding is your process and the process is on the whiteboard. You've got a sticky note for step one. Step one is to, you know, send the client like the form for them to fill out to get information from them. Then maybe step two is you guys are creating a LastPass folder for this client. So then you're taking like this whiteboard, but this is like where we do it virtually with Miro and Canva. Essentially virtually, you could like, you know, point little arrows and things to the different sticky notes. And you could do this on a whiteboard. I've done it on a wall before. I have totally done it whiteboard, virtual, whatever works for you. But it allows you to visually map out. And the reason why I say sticky notes is because you can easily pick up the sticky notes and kind of move them around on the whiteboard and like erase and repoint the arrows. Because a lot of people just like to go straight to like documenting verbally all the different processes, and then they get really overwhelmed because they're staring at a blank slate. So like when I'm able to process map it out, it allows me to like really visually see like the steps of the process and easily move things around without first documenting it, if that makes sense. And inside the blog will also include screenshots, because I've got some screenshots for you guys on like what that process mapping actually looks like as well. So step five is to create tasks and document the process. So after you've kind of mapped it out visually to see high level, like, okay, these are the steps of us to go from point A to point B when it comes to onboarding, then the next thing that you're going to do is like, if you're using a project management system, for me, it's Asana, we then will create the actual project in Asana for onboarding. So that way we have a template. And essentially what we do is we create these different tasks and stuff. And inside of Kickoff with Asana, we actually give you all of these processes like inside of Kickoff with Asana, inside of our template. So I'll drop the link to that program as well. But inside of Kickoff with Asana, we have those like already like laid out for you. And so essentially what you're going to do is now put the tasks and document the process. And the documentation is really where now you're getting into the granular. Now you're getting into the nitty gritty of things, where first you were process mapping high level. And then now we're looking at, okay, well, step one is to send the Google form to the client for to them to upload information and get us details for onboarding. Then now we need to know, well, now what are the steps to doing that? What is the Google form that we actually need to be sending to the client? So now maybe you need to be creating a Google form to be able to send to the client, so on and so forth. Number six is manual execution of the work. So this is where you guys are going to actually start testing it. This is why like the 3 month period like takes a while, because the next time that you onboard, if your issue is onboarding process, then you're going to now manually execute everything. Whenever you have a new client that's onboarding, you guys are now going to go in and start actually like following the steps that you've documenting, looking at your process map. You're going to find that you missed some steps. So now let's go edit it. Let's go find ways to fix it or make it ways to make it faster and so on and so forth. The next step, which is step 7, is to identify areas of automation and improvement. So for example, once you start to manually do something that you've like documented, you started putting into place, and you guys are just like executing it and whatnot, this is where you're going to start looking at like, okay, so we've got this Google form, you know, that we send off to the client when we're onboarding them to ask them for important information. Is there a way that we can automate that? So that way, like when someone signs a contract in Dubsado, it then automatically sends out a form. Or maybe we don't even have to use an automation. Maybe we just switch our forms to Dubsado forms. If we're already like signing the contract through Dubsado, why not have them automatically send out a form that's within Dubsado? So this is where you're starting to talk to your team, or if it's just you, you could talk to yourself, because I do that all the time. Or if you're in like a group or a community, you could start, you know, bouncing these ideas off other people. Inside of Breakthrough, people bring these discussions to our co-working sessions. That way you guys can see in the areas of opportunities. But I find a big mistake that a lot of bookkeepers and accountants make is that they try to automate before understanding the manual process. And so this is like a big trip up, because people are like, well, I can't figure it out. Like, I don't know how to automate. It's because like you're trying to automate something you don't even know if it's like your process, right? So we're going to start looking at areas of opportunity, improvements, and then automations as well during that step. Step 8 is to implement the changes. So as you're doing the execution of the work, you've mapped things out, you're starting to, you know, automate things and make some improvements, switch some steps around, and, you know, start creating assets that allow for it to go quicker. So for example, if it's your cleanup process you're focusing on, then maybe you want to create like a template master chart of accounts. That's something that we did at our firm, and it just helps us in the cleanup process. Now it works faster, and that's like, it's not automation. That's like us just creating a manual asset that we can use to help us like work faster. And so how can we template things? Can we template the emails? Can we template the projects, the tasks, the assets, the things, the folders, the automation using Zapier, like whatever that looks like. So this is where you're really doing like the deep diving of change. And so that's why I always say 3 months is perfect, because it's like the first month you might be focusing on working on mapping out your process, documenting it. And then like month two, you're like practicing it, like in the sense of like every, next time someone's being onboarded, you're testing it, so on and so forth. And then month three is like, let's implement some changes, let's automate, let's improve, right? And then the last step is to test the process and make adjustments. So everything is all about adjusting, tweaking. And like I said, even if you're not, like if my core focus, because like I said, my core focus is our cleanup process for my firm, it doesn't mean that I can't also fix my hiring process. Like I'm literally in the middle of hiring a personal and executive assistant for myself. And of course I'm tweaking my hiring process, but my main focal point, the thing I'm talking to my team about, is the cleanup process. We're getting on like collaborative meetings together and so on and so forth. And one thing I'd really recommend for you that's really helped me a lot is to create a simple Google Doc, and I want you to name it like whatever your process is that you're working on for that quarter. So if yours is onboarding process, a simple Google Doc that just says onboarding process. I want you to bookmark it on your Chrome or whatever browser you're using. The reason why I say that is we have like 3 different areas on that Google Doc, and it's simple. Like it's nothing complicated. 3 different areas. It says the good, the bad, the ideas. And essentially all you're doing is that while you're working on a certain process, what I really recommend is that like as you're onboarding, let's just say the next time you're onboarding your clients, you're not going to have time to go fix the process right away when you're in the middle of doing the work. But if you have this like document bookmark on your tab, you can open it up and say maybe one of the bad things was the automation didn't go through. So just quickly jot down automation between Zapier and Dubsado and the Google form didn't go through. We've got to find a way to fix it or whatever. Maybe a good thing that happened was someone, one of your clients complimented you guys on your onboarding process being super smooth. Maybe you have an idea in your head where it's like, oh, I'd love to have like a video of me saying, hello, welcome to our firm on the landing page whenever they sign their contract. That's an idea. So you'd put that in the ideas space. But having this Google Doc helps me, because as I'm working on that process, I sometimes like don't even have time to like work and fix the thing, but I want to get it out of my brain. So that's one of my biggest recommendations. I want you to just kind of recap like and just write down if you can. Like I said, you can always re-listen to this episode. You can always read the blog on this by going to workflowqueen.com/podcast if that helps you in any capacity. But one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to repeat these steps for you to identify what's the core problem in the business and actually executing on fixing it. So step 1 is to identify the core system you need fixing. Step 2 is identify the process, the core process requiring attention. Step three is to plan to work on it for at least one quarter. Step four is to process map using tools like Miro or Canva or a good old sticky notes on the wall. Step five is to create tasks and actually document the process. Step six is to manually execute on the work. And then step seven is identify areas of automation and improvements. Step eight is implement the actual changes. And then the last step is to test the process and make adjustments. I know that sounds like a lot, but once you get really used to like focusing on a process, it's really like super straightforward. It just does take time. It does take me 3 months, guys, even for someone who's super systematized. And I'm always fixing our stuff because like even for myself, our onboarding is pretty solid. We do it really well. A lot of it's automated. It's great. But there's still things that even myself, I still want to like add to it. So for example, I actually want to add like a welcome video when someone signs a contract. It sends them to a certain landing page that says like it's a video of me saying thank you so much. Here's what to expect next, where I don't have to actually get on a call to tell them what to expect next. And so like there's even things that I want to do, but do I have time all the time? No. But if I'm focusing on that core process, it gives me the opportunity to really zero in on like the things that I need to do to like really amplify it and make it more of my own, right? And so I just want to encourage you to like take a step back. If you don't even know what process that you need to be working on, you can seriously email me at support@workflowqueen.com or you can voice note me on IG at workflowqueen. And the reason why like I really recommend this is because brain dump what you have going on, because I really do have a very specific skill set where people can tell me their whole entire problem in their business and I can tell them right away, oh yeah, that's the QC process. Oh, you really definitely need to be hiring. So that's the hiring process. If you don't know what's your biggest issue right now, come talk to me about it. Like I said, you might have issues in a lot of different areas and that's okay, but what is the biggest one that needs the most attention that will change the way that your business is ran? The whole goal to become a removable CEO is really to just take that first step to getting used to like this process of identifying your core needs and actually beginning to execute on it. Because as much as we would all love sometimes like this team that would build all these things out for us, sometimes that's not the reality for you. So you might have to do some of that work, but doesn't mean that you can't maybe hire a VA to help you implement or work in a mastermind to like see what other people are doing or come into like our programs, especially if you're one of our students, collaborate, take advantage of our co-working calls, of our coaching calls, the homework reviews, everything that you need in our programs. So that way, like you can get the support that you need. I really hope that you enjoyed today's like episode. I really like talking about the logistics of things. If you want to hear more episodes like this, or you want to just leave a review and just share your love for this episode, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of our Conquering Workflows and Systems for Bookkeepers and Accountants podcast with your host, Alyssa Lang, the founder and owner of Workflow Queen. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on iTunes and share this episode with a fellow bookkeeper or an accountant on social media, and also tag me on Instagram at Workflow Queen. The more that we work together to get this out in front of other people, the better I can help to serve this industry to create more solid systems and processes. Now, go take what you learned from today's episode and apply it into your practice so you can finally give yourself the brain space and freedom that you deserve. I can't wait to see you unfold throughout your journey. And thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode. See you next time.